This summer, my wife and I took my parents, our son, and our granddaughter on a trip to Montana. Coming from South Florida, it was such a change of pace. We spent our days exploring Glacier National Park, taking in the incredible mountain views, spotting wildlife, and doing some easy hikes to waterfalls and scenic overlooks. It was amazing being surrounded by mountains and cooler weather, something we just don't get at home. We also checked out some local restaurants, tried a few Montana favorites like Huckleberry desserts, and really enjoyed slowing down and spending quality time together. But while we were off exploring somewhere new, our home was just sitting empty. That's when I realized, while we're away, we could list our space on Airbnb. It feels like a smart and practical way to bring in some extra cash, especially when there is a high demand in our area for things like concerts, games, or festivals. It turns an empty house into an easy opportunity while you enjoy your own time off, and can even help offset some of the cost of your next trip. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
A complete and thorough ADP review on part two of our running backs preview right now here on Fantasy Football Today. Welcome, everybody. We're going from Bijan Robinson to Brian Robinson, from Jahmyr Gibbs to DJ Giddens, I was going to say. Jacob Gibbs. I don't think we're actually going to get to DJ Giddens, but what's up, Heath? What'd you think of part one? Did you like it? It was good.
I thought it was real and spectacular, and I was glad that you did your host job and actually closed the show, unlike other shows where you just say, I'm leaving, and left it to me to be the adult in the room.
I've never been the adult in the room. We all know that. Heath's referring to last night's live stream for the FFT Open, which we'll update you on. Dave, let's think about a couple things here. Let's think about this. You want a starting running back late? Well, Jordan Mason is going 120th overall. Rashad White is going 107th. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, 114th. Jonathan Brooks, 108th. Chris Rodriguez, 147th. I don't think he's going to be the starter, but can't completely rule it out. Zach Charbonnet, 135th. He could be a starter at some point. We got some guys going after pick 100. I don't know if anybody I said there really, you know, rings a loud bell for you, but as a possibility to get a starting running back after pick 100, that's pretty cool.
It's kind of the whole genesis of zero RB strategy, and I don't like zero RB this year. I'm okay with hero RB, so we could apply it to that. If you can identify a couple of running backs that you could get later on, that, all right, just for the beginning of the year, these guys can get me through, and I can pick up good players at other positions on top of it. It's an option. Let's just put it that way. I'm with Heath. I don't think anybody should go into any draft dead set on any positional strategy. But if you go in your draft and you find after three picks, all right, I got my stud running back, I've got two great wide receivers, or a tight end and a wide receiver with a running back, and I really like the wide receivers in rounds 4 through 6, then you know the door's open for you to take on hero RB, and you know that there are some players that you can get later on. And I would include some Broncos running backs on that list. J.K. Dobbins, pair him up with Jonah Coleman. That's a nice little duo. Both those guys are going after 90th overall. I think that's tenable, and I think that isn't the worst thing in the world for you to do, particularly in your full PPR drafts.
I'm just going to let you know, Dave, if you see any of my teams as zero RB, if you see any zero RB builds from me, call for help. An alien or something has taken over my body. Because I will never do zero RB. I hate
zero. All right,
zero.
So hold on. I'm going to test this. You're at pick 5 overall, and available is Puka Nacua. You could also get McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor. Who are you taking? Full PPR.
Puka Nacua.
Okay. And I think that's sensible. Heath, you do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
All right, so now we're at pick 19, I guess it would be, in round 2, if you're picking 5th. And wow, it's kind of crazy, but Rashee Rice is there. A.J. Brown's there. So is Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. Are you taking the receiver? Are you taking Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry?
I'll go for A.J. Brown.
Okay, and I know you like A.J. Brown, and so that's a great start. I don't think anybody would disagree. Heath, would you disagree?
No, I mean, I wouldn't take A.J. Brown that early, but I would have taken Rashee Rice. But yeah, sure. That's a fine
okay, start. Great. But all right. And now it's round three, and all the running backs that I talked about are gone, as is Kenneth Walker, and Josh Jacobs went early. But Nico Collins is there somehow, and Malik Nabers is healthy and running around and looking like himself, and he's still there.
Give me Nico Collins, Dave.
Yeah, okay. That's the whole point. It's like you're going to – if there's value there, you could say to yourself, yeah, I'm never going zero RB, but if the value's there, draft shake out funny all the time, man.
That's
three
picks.
And if that's the case, then now you've done it. You've gone your first three picks without a stud running back.
That's not zero RB. Zero RB is like
not yet, but when Josh Allen's there in round four –
I get your point.
And Colson Loveland's there in round five and all kinds of other crazy stuff is going on.
I get your point.
Thank you.
The aliens have won. All right. Another thing to think about. I think
for Kodos.
One of the concerns that fantasy managers have, specifically with Devon Achane, maybe with Ashton Jeanty, is can a running back be great on a bad offense? So first of all, in PPR, it's easier, right? As soon as catches start counting more, then it's easier because all you need is a guy who's catching a lot of balls. But let's just look at half PPR last year. Bijan Robinson was RB3 in half PPR, 22nd best offense in the NFL. Devon Achane was RB6 in half PPR with the 25th best offense in the NFL. Go back to 2023. We did have Breece Hall. He was on the third worst offense in football, and he was RB3 in half PPR, RB5 per game. He had 76 catches. There is Derrick Henry. In 2022, he was RB4 in half PPR on the fifth worst offense in the NFL. He had 33 catches. Most of the guys who are great on bad offenses do it with a lot of catches. Derrick Henry can't really make any rules about Derrick Henry. He's basically playing his own sport. He's just like a different cat. But I don't know. I think it's important, Heath, because a lot of people are going to have hesitation, understandably, myself included, drafting Achane. I would put Jeanty in there because I think the offense will be better in Las Vegas, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the Chargers offense, for example. But what is your advice to people worried about quality of offense and how it relates to these elite running backs?
I mean, I think first off, if they catch passes, it doesn't matter near as much.
Right.
And the guys who we don't think are going to catch passes that might be on bad offenses are being drafted late enough that it doesn't really matter anyway. And so I think it probably gets overplayed more than it gets underplayed.
Okay. The flip side is the other Breece Hall seasons where he's scoring four rushing touchdowns because they are worst or third worst in the NFL in goal line carries. So it can work the other way, but we'll talk about that. And let's just do it. Let's go ADP review. Starting with 1 and 2, Jahmyr Gibbs 1, Bijan Robinson 2 overall. Bijan Robinson just signed, or didn't sign it yet, I think, but agreed to a 3-year extension worth $75 million with $51 million guaranteed. So these are pretty easy picks, Gibbs and Bijan. Do you have them 1-2 overall, guys, in PPR?
Yep, I do. I have them 1-2 overall in non-PPR also. Yes. Yeah,
I figured that much. But in PPR, I prefer Chase to Bijan, but I don't really care.
Can I just bring up one teeny tiny thing? Mm-hmm. I'm glad Bijan signed his deal or is going to sign his deal. There's no hold in. He'll play. If Gibbs gets to very late August and still is holding in, hasn't practiced, not working out with the team, wants a new deal, I would get a little nervous about taking him at 101. I would get a little nervous taking him at even 105. But it's contingent on something that might not happen. I mean, we're talking about 25 days from now. That's like almost a month. So let's wait before we panic about that. But it's something to keep in mind.
Gibbs and Montgomery have combined for at least 30 fantasy points per game in each of the last three seasons. Now, it's a little deceiving because some of that is, Gibbs going crazy when Montgomery hasn't been there, but I'm not going to spend a ton of time on them because I think you know how great they are, and they are certainly worthy of being the first two picks. So then after that, we have McCaffrey, Taylor, Achane, Cook, and Jeanty in the first round. Thomas, yeah, I don't really care what ADP we use. If you go on Fantasy Pros and you go the overall instead of just by running back, yeah, let's do that and then flip it back to PPR. Oh, it's on PPR. Okay, good. Because the order changes when you just go to position specific. I'm not sure why. I think they use different sources. So we have McCaffrey going sixth We have Taylor going 7th. We have James Cook going 11th. And we have Achan and Jenty also going 11th. But those five running backs, Heath, round out the from the middle of the first round to the end of the first round. McCaffrey, Taylor, Cook, Achan, Jenty. How do you look at that group?
I think that with the first two, they feel like a totally different thing than the other three. Like, we pretty much know what we're getting with Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey and James Cook too, but James Cook's just at a lower level. And there's risk that those guys get hurt, but you have to decide whether you're drafting scared or not. It should surprise no one if they score 20 fantasy points per game, 22 fantasy points per game, maybe even more for McCaffrey. And then Cook is kind of like the bridge to the, and really it's kind of weird that Chase Brown isn't there with James Cook, but Achan and Jenty are the huge, huge swings with much lower floor than anybody else we're drafting in round one, I think.
Achan and Jenty are the swings with much lower floors than, right. And like, and you
like I've seen Ashton Jenty go with pick 4. Wow. I've seen a lot of people ranking him as the RB3. That's how he gets up this high in ADP. I am not there, but I get it. The talent's there. It seems like there's fewer people, despite the fact that he's shown it, willing to recognize that with Achan. But I view them very, very similarly. Like, they could have 20 touches per game. They could be amongst the best running backs in football. Their situations might be so bad that it doesn't matter how talented they are.
So first of all, let's get something out of the way here. We love Chase Brown's value at 16 overall at RB9. He is, Chase Brown is RB5 for Jamie, RB5 for Dave, and RB7 for Heath. But you could easily take him over James Cook in full PPR. I don't know how you guys feel about him in half PPR. Dave, just give me a thought on Chase Brown here.
We've seen him. His very best has come when everybody's healthy in Cincinnati. And for now, everybody's healthy in Cincinnati. Whether or not that's going to actually end up happening, given the history of T. Higgins and Joe Burrow, remains to be seen. But even when those guys aren't on the field, there's still upside for Chase Brown to be 16, 17 PPR points per game. I think the Bengals coaching staff knows by now what they have in him compared to everybody else on their roster. The thing that could be most different this year than previous years is that Cincinnati's defense got a lot better. And so I would imagine there's going to be fewer games where the Bengals are down 2 scores in the fourth quarter and Burrow's got to play Superman, and more games where they're up 2 scores in the fourth quarter and Chase Brown gets to salt games away, can have some breakaway runs, maybe even a nice little screen pass mixed in there where he picks up chunk yardage. We've seen him do these things, and I think he'll continue to have the opportunity to do these things. And so I'm very encouraged by the outlook for Chase Brown. The fact that the competition behind him on the depth chart isn't that good. The fact that we've seen him succeed in this spot before. And because I don't think the coaches are going to say, well, we got to give Samaje Perine 40% of the work. I don't see them doing that. I think that this is the year Cincinnati, I think they're one of the rebound teams in the NFL this year. And so if they're going to be that, then the whole offense should be great. But the run game should be a big part of that. And that's Chase Brown. I think he's a first round pick.
Yeah, same here. If you look at basically since he became the starting running back week 9 of 2024, from weeks 9 through 17 of 2024, I think he missed week 18. He averaged 20.6 PPR fantasy points per game. That's phenomenal. And then last year, any sample you use with Joe Burrow, you want to, you know, I don't know if we included week 2 in this, but because Burrow left pretty early, but any sample with Burrow, whether it was with Higgins, without Higgins, whatever, it's more than 20.6 points per game, or at least more than 20 points per game. So that it's pretty impressive for Chase Brown. And the quote that stood out to me, I think it was from T. Higgins, said he got better every single week. And you could see that. And there's a lot of hype for Brown right now. All right. So what's interesting to me, Heath, is that you said McCaffrey and Taylor were sort of separate from Cook, Achan, and Jenty. I think a lot of people might look at it as McCaffrey, Taylor, and Cook are separate from Achan and Jenty. Dave, how do you separate that group of five? McCaffrey, Taylor, Cook, Achan, Jenty.
Taylor and McCaffrey and Chase Brown are all kind of really close to each other because I think they all have 20-plus PPR point potential. the downside is injury for basically all three of them. Brown more so injury to teammates because we've seen that hurt him. James Cook, I had him ahead of McCaffrey at one point, and I've soured a little bit, not enough to take him out of round one, but just because he's coming off the year with so much work, and it would be foolish of me to say, well, watch out for Christian McCaffrey, he had all this work, and then not do the exact same thing for James Cook. But unquestionably a great running back, a little touchdown dependent, and it's got to be a lot of touchdowns, but I think he'll get it. I don't know if I'm really buying this idea that there's going to be more work in the passing game for the running backs. I think they just might be working on that in training camp. So maybe a little bit of a jump, but it's not a reason to take James Cook. But I think those four, Taylor, CMC, Brown, Cook, are in a different tier than Achan, Genty, and I would put Amari and Hampton in that tier with Achan and Genty.
Yeah, and I think it just depends on how much you are factoring in the potential. Like Dave said, 20-point upside, and I'd probably extend the list. If it's 20-point upside, we probably have to include the guy who scored 20 points per game last year, and that's Achan. What I was saying about Taylor and McCaffrey is they have 20-point expectation in my projections. Like they are projected for 19.8 and well over 20 in McCaffrey's case. I have Achan about a point per game better than Cook and Chase Brown, and I know a lot of people just put Cook in that same category because they're expecting Achan to lose 10% or more of his production from last year. But it is still true that if the top one or top two most predictive thing for fantasy points per game this year is what happened last year. And it wasn't a small margin that Devon Achane was better than James Cook or Chase Brown. Now, things have changed for Achane. So maybe this whole situation, things have changed, though, in different directions. I think Malik Willis, as Dave has said, at the very I hate to say that anything's going to make Devon Achane a more efficient rusher. He's the most efficient rusher in the NFL. But if anything, it helps preserve the fact that you should just about expect him to average 5.5 yards per carry. Willis makes you concerned about the targets, but the fact that Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are gone make you wonder who else could they throw to.
Yeah.
So I think Achane has proven that he is one of the elite running backs in the NFL. The mystery is whether their lack of pass catchers or Malik Willis's very small sample size wins out in terms of his target volume.
All right, so that seems to be kind of your guy at the 1-2 turn that you're more likely to take. Achane's your guy. Chase Brown is also like our collective guy. We like him better than his ADP. Is there anyone you're avoiding, guys?
I don't like Achane in round one if I can help it. Usually I can help it and he falls into round two. If I had to do it, I would do it. But that's Genty is the other one that I don't think belongs in round one. I get the excitement behind him. I don't know if enough has changed in Las Vegas to believe that he's going to blow the 14.4 PPR points per game he had last year out of the water.
Yeah. And I think we should that's the other thing is the Raiders offensive line has improved a lot. I don't think it's as good as the Dolphins.
I was going to make a broader point about a couple of other running backs. I don't really know the difference between Achane, Genty, these guys, and even Barkley and Henry. I mean, it's a huge tier. And I love the round two running backs. I know not all of them are going to be great, but it's actually a very difficult decision, in my opinion, if I'm sitting there with, let's say, the third pick of round two. I'm hoping that some of these guys have already been taken and I don't have to sweat it out. But I can't sit here and confidently say Omarion Hampton versus Ashton Genty versus Devon Achane versus Saquon Barkley versus Derrick Henry. Who's going to be the best in that group? Seems like, Heath, you have a pretty good conviction about Achane there.
Well, I think... like Barkley and Henry are being discounted for the same reason that they were discounted last year. Barkley, not quite, because he didn't have as much work. I do think the stuff with them going under center more and Barkley's career efficiency on shotgun versus under center, he's been much better on shotgun runs. And there's been a lot of talk about Tank Bigsby having a bigger role than he has in the past. And Barkley was not good last year. So, and Henry's older than any great running back we've ever seen that I can remember. So I think like that's why, no, projections wise, I have Cook, Brown, Henry, Barkley, and Jacobs too, all Jacobs, in that 16 fantasy point per game range.
Yeah, good call on Josh Jacobs. I'll make a quick point on Jacobs and then we got to take a little break here, but we'll spend more time on the round two running back shortly. And I also want to point out that based on their rankings, these guys are not taking Christian McCaffrey fifth overall ahead of Jaxon Smith-Njigba or Jonathan Taylor or Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think I'm the high guy on the podcast on Christian McCaffrey. The earliest I'd take him would be maybe sixth in PPR, probably seventh. And I think I would take him sixth and half PPR ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. But sixth or seventh for me, like McCaffrey, there is definitely risk there. All the things we talked about yesterday. And I'm the high guy, I'm McCaffrey. But they're not far behind. Just give me a number. Where do you have McCaffrey overall?
Eight.
Eight.
Josh Jacobs. Look, if Josh Jacobs' health is ready to play and not going to face any suspension, he was RB9 per game last year. You're obviously going to get him later than that, but there were three games where he played fewer than 40% of the snaps. In the games where he didn't, where he played more than that, he averaged 19 awesome. Fantasy points per game. And the year before that, he was the number six running back per game. So right now, it is possible that Josh Jacobs, because he's going late in the third round, I believe, is the best value in fantasy. He's going 29th overall, so mid third round. It's possible that Josh Jacobs is the best running back, the best value period at running back 14, but that's a fluid situation. All right, I'm sorry. We have to squeeze in a break here. And when we come back, gonna finish our talk about Barkley Hampton. Is Hampton, there's some Keaton Mitchell buzz right now. Is Hampton going to be the workhorse we're hoping he's going to be? We'll talk about that when we come back on Fantasy Football Today and an update on the FFT Open after this. We are back. So last night was a big night. FFT Open spots went on sale. We had 396 spots available. More than half of them sold last night. That's amazing. So we have fewer than 200 left, but we do have a lot of great analysts out there. Gary Davenport, John Daigle. I'm just looking at the page right now. Ryan Heath, Pat Doherty, Rich Rebar, Paul Charchian, Justin Boone, Joey Wright. Joey Wright's in the chat right now hanging out. Alfredo Brown, Thomas Schaefer, still three spots left in Thomas's league. Bob Harris, I don't know if we have any more, but we do have a few more people. There's so many spots available. Please join the FFT Open. I don't know if I ever really explained it. It's a 36 division tournament that ends in week 15 in each division. By the way, if you're drafting, keep in mind that the playoffs are weeks 14 and 15 in your individual division, and there are a couple of teams at least on bye in week 14. So
two of them.
Yeah, it's the Cowboys, is it? And Cardinals or something?
I'm double-checking right now. All right. Arizona, Dallas.
Yeah.
So look at you knowing the schedule.
Keep that in mind.
All right, who do the Chiefs play in week number seven, Adam? Go.
Chargers. Then the winners of the 36 divisions will compete in the semifinals. The 12 highest scorers will advance to the finals. Now, I do have to tell four people that we know you signed up, but we don't know which league you signed up for. JN Comfort 1, Shorty 76, Eric Risen, and David Kotz. If you're listening, please send an email to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com so we can make sure we have you in the right league. And for those of you who are going to play, the invites will probably be sent out next week. So just be a little patient with us. We'll get everything going.
Let me just add this. There are so many great analysts that are making themselves available. And that means that when you're playing against them and drafting with them, you'll have the chance to talk to them. And not only could you get some amazing stories out of them, but also really good insight on what will help you in your other fantasy football league. So I wouldn't necessarily poo-poo a chance to draft with Bob Harris, Gary Davenport, Roto Pat, Ryan Heath, Theo Greminger. I don't know if his league is still available or not, but these are all guys that have tons of knowledge and interesting viewpoints, and you will learn something and you will have a good time and you will be a better fantasy manager long-term just for being around these guys and having the chance to play with them for a season.
And the question here, why are the playoffs in weeks 14 and 15? Well, it's a tournament. So in order to advance people to the next round, we have to end the divisions earlier. So the top four teams make the playoffs. The number one seed gets a bye in week 14. Numbers 2, 3, and 4 all just play in week 14, and the highest score advances to week 15. And then we're going to find out the division winners in week 15. We'll have 36 division winners. They all compete in week 16. The top 12 move on to week 17. The highest scorer there, they win the FFT Open. So that's how it works. All right, let's get back to our show with these running backs. So here's what we're going to do. After McCaffrey, Taylor, and Cook, that's five running backs. Let's say we're up at late in round one or the beginning of round two, and I'm going to give you a running back, and we're going to put them on the old draft-o-meter. How likely are you, or how excited would you be to draft this running back, let's say at the 1-2 turn? Because even though some of these guys have later ADP, if you don't take them at the 1-2 turn, you're certainly not getting them. And let's start with Devon Achane, 0 to 10 on the draft-o-meter.
7. That's fine. Full PPR, right? This is a full PPR draft.
Draftometer. And let's do full PPR. And if there's a guy that's very different in different formats, then please specify.
We're at one. Achane is very different because of the catches. So it would be a 7 in full PPR, and drop me down to a 5 in non PPR.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I'm that much different, because I think if he's not catching a lot of passes, he's going to be rushing the ball 18 times a game, and he's averages almost as much per rush as he does per catch. So I'll say the same.
Ashton Jeanty.
6 across the board. Nah, probably a 5 in non-PPR.
I think this one's really depends on how you phrase it, because I could get pretty excited about drafting Ashton Jeanty. I'm not drafting him that high. So okay. I guess I'd be a 6 on the excited, a 2 on the likely to.
Then we should probably make this the likely draft-o-meter.
Yeah, 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been taking him. He's just one guy. I never pick him. I do like that he's lost weight, because in my opinion, he really didn't seem that explosive last year, and I would have felt kind of stupid saying it out loud, but then he himself came out and said that he wasn't in good enough shape and he wants to be more explosive this year, and he's lost a lot of weight. I'm sorry that he had to stop eating candy. We all like doing that, but I don't know. I only 3 carries longer than 18 yards all year, and he had a lot of carries, 266. I definitely prefer Chase Brown, and I prefer Hampton. Did you guys go Hampton or Jeanty?
Hampton.
Heath? Hampton or
Jeanty? I have Hampty one spot higher. I go back and forth every time I update my rankings.
Hampty.
I gave up the going back and forth. I settled on Hampton just with the coordinator change, offensive line being strong, and the schedule is tough for both of them, but one of these teams gets to play the Raiders twice a year.
Yeah, the schedule was tough for Jeanty last year, and it could be tough again this year. But the coordinator change is probably good for him, too. Clint Kubiak's lead rushers, there's a great history. Dalvin Cook was RB11 per game in 2021. He played 13 games. Alvin Kamara was RB5 per game last year. And Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet were not good per game, but they were good as a tandem. They just, unfortunately, split too much. But Dalvin Cook did not split, and Alvin Kamara did not split. So that's, you know, it's not like Kubiak is necessarily going to do that.
No, it's true. Here's a fun fact. How many touchdowns have his running backs caught in his 3 years as a play caller?
Oh, boy. Two.
You guys, it's 3. Why aren't you giving Kubiak enough credit? But it's 3 total touchdowns. And think about who he had. He had the Seattle guys last year, Alvin Kamara before that, and Dalvin Cook before that. Yeah. Very, very, very capable pass-catching running backs.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing that makes me nervous about Jeanty being able to come anywhere close to replicating what he did last year in the receiving game, at least in terms of touchdowns.
All right, we're going to move a little bit down the draft, but let's say now we're pick 15. How likely are you to take Omarion Hampton, 0 to 10?
4.
9.
Ooh, okay, let's talk about Hampton. And listen, I'm looking at the clock right now. We're about half hour in, and we're only in round 2. We have a show tomorrow that is neither a wide receiver nor a running back preview. Anything we don't get to today, we'll do the leftovers tomorrow.
Running back preview, part 3.
Part 3 running back preview, Adam.
So let me tell you, I really think for a lot of people, the fate of their fantasy leagues is going to be getting this pick right. The running back that you take in round 2. Now, you don't obviously don't have to take a running back, but if you do, We just know how fantasy football works. Some of them are going to be great. Some of them are going to be disappointing. Some of them are going to be in the middle, and there may not be a rhyme or reason to it. So we'll try to find that rhyme or reason. But let's talk about Amarian Hampton, because obviously, Dave, you'd be more excited or more likely to draft Hampton 15th overall than Heath. What do you like about Hampton? What do you expect?
Let's start with the talent himself. I think he's a three-down player. While he doesn't necessarily have a ton of explosion to his game, he can get downfield in a hurry, and he's a good combination of size, speed, and power. 15.1 PPR points per game in 9 games overall. 8 games with 15-plus touches. He had 16.5-plus in half of them, 13-plus in 6 of them. I think that's the floor. And an ankle injury cratered his year. We all know this from last year. Now let's add in the change at play caller, going to Mike McDaniel. Look at what McDaniel has done with running backs, and it's not just Devon Achane. Raheem Mostert had a monster year in Miami. So I think he is absolutely a running back whisperer. And when he's got a healthy and strong offensive line, potentially a top 5 offensive line to work with, then that's just going to give Hampton and whoever else is running the football, but it's primarily going to be Amarian Hampton, more room to run before he gets contact. And that's just going to help him build up his speed, make a cut, and get going downhill, which is what Amarian Hampton is very, very good at. And yeah, the schedule's tough. One of their toughest games is in week 18. I believe it's at Denver. So that's a game you don't have to worry about. 2 against Las Vegas is better. And this offense is going to have some threats in the passing game, which will keep safeties from stacking up against Amarian Hampton. Everybody's worried about Keaton Mitchell being a factor. Keaton Mitchell will be a factor. I don't think Keaton Mitchell will be a factor inside the 10. He certainly won't be a factor at the goal line. This is a team that we expect to score a lot of points. I think Hampton will be the one who can score both on the ground and through the air inside the 5. We saw him do that last year. And I would imagine that he will be a huge focal point for what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. And he's always wanted to run the football. And I don't think the Chargers are going to get too far away from that. And especially with Mike McDaniel as the play caller, they should be very, very good. As for him over Gentry, he had a higher PPR average, better consistency rate, better play caller, better offensive line, just as capable as contributing in the passing game, better efficiency than Gentry in their rookie years. I think that Hampton is an easier call than Gentry when we're talking 1-2 turn, really second round, early second round. And I believe the Chargers are going to have a good year scoring lots of points. You're going to want to have the best running back they have on your fantasy team.
You know, Heath, I think actually the difference here, you both have Hampton as RB8. You must just like a lot more receivers there, I guess, that maybe you say you're less likely to draft Hampton.
Yeah, I think it's because I've got a couple of wide receivers, 2 or 3 ahead of him. Dave, do you have Jefferson or Hampton higher?
Let me double check. I have Jefferson at 13, Hampton at 14.
Wow, so that's still there's 3. So do you have London behind him?
Yes.
Okay. No, I have London, Pickens, and Rice ahead of him in full PPR. I'm a little concerned about the pass volume. But for the most part, like, he's a very good round 2 pick. I wouldn't have a problem with somebody taking him at 14. But I don't ever do that.
Okay. So Saquon Barkley, how likely are we to take him 15th overall? 0 to 10?
2-4.
Max.
All right, so let's move him back to 18th overall. How likely are you to take Saquon Barkley?
6, max.
I mean, I've got him 20th, so I just don't do that.
Me too.
Okay, how about Derrick Henry?
1 spot ahead of Saquon.
I've got him 1 spot behind Saquon.
What about in half PPR?
They'd be ahead of the wide receivers.
Agreed. And I think Henry probably gets the nod in half and none over Quan.
Derrick Henry was RB7 per game in full PPR last year, and actually in all formats. He's been a top 7 running back per game in 6 of the last 7 seasons, top 4 running back per game in every format in 5 of the last 7 seasons, excuse me. So RB7 last year for Derrick Henry was one of his worst seasons, and he was better, so you know. And keep in mind that he wasn't really that great. He averaged 12.6 points per game without Lamar Jackson, or with Jackson leaving early with an injury from weeks 4 through 8. And then
he was terrible until week 16. Yeah.
He was not terrible until week 16.
Well, I mean, you tell me. He was at 13.9 in weeks 1 through 9. And then it wasn't until a monster game that he had. When was it? 45.6 in week 17.
He started like week 11.
He averaged almost 15 PPR points per game in weeks 1 through 16.
That is true. But a lot of that was without Lamar Jackson. He really struggled.
Sure. And what's the other big issue with Derrick Henry? When the Ravens are losing, your fantasy team is losing because Derrick Henry isn't going to be there getting points for your squad.
They're not going to be.
When they're winning, it's great. He's awesome.
He's going to be awesome.
He lost his center. He lost his fullback. Yeah, he's got a new play call. Like that. Those things, I think those things matter.
They matter.
I think the offensive line is going to end up being okay. I do worry about losing the fullback. I do. I they're going to use a lot of tight ends. That's Declan Doyle's style. It's kind of been, you know, something that we've heard out of Baltimore this offseason is that they want to get more tight ends involved, not be a team that has a ton of receivers on the field. They want to have big receivers too. And I think that all helps Derrick Henry, but not having Ricard blocking for him, I think is something that he'll miss for sure.
Frank Ricard. I think it was Landon Dickerson of the Eagles who recently was talking about how he was playing hurt like pretty much all year. I want to talk about Barkley here. Mm-hmm. It just, their offensive line was not itself last year. It wasn't even close. And if the Eagles, what happened?
Oh, I just didn't know that Jalen Hurts' offensive line had any problems last year.
It had a lot of problems last year. It wasn't a bad offensive line. I think it was probably about an average offensive line, you know, based on the two sites I used, PFF and ESPN, that rate them. But we know it can be the best offensive line in football. And I think that Saquon Barkley, one advantage he has over a lot of guys is that he barely ever leaves the field. So like Derrick Henry pretty much never plays on third down. He has the lowest third down route participation rate of any good running back in the NFL, any good fantasy running back in the NFL. James Cook is also very, very low on that list, by the way, but hopefully a little higher this year. Saquon Barkley plays all the time. And I think it's so easy to see a bounce back season from him. I mean, I don't know. I've got him
at like, I think I have an RB12. And so that's a little bit of a bounce back. 11. That's a little bit of a bounce back from what he was last year.
I haven't even higher than that. I think he's 10th. So I think it's smart to draft him with higher expectations than where he finished last season. I've talked a lot about the Eagles offense and it's changing and it could cause some early season problems. The one area where I think it's going to be okay is the run game, especially early in the year when that offensive line's healthy, because they're going to be able to, Saquon will be able to adapt to outside zone, no problem. And that line will be able to be good at it too. He's going to average over 15 PPR points per game. He's a good second round pick for sure.
Yeah, man. I think you can make the case that he's better than Genty and Hampton. You know, I mean, I
have him ahead of both. I have Henry and Barkley ahead of both in my projections.
But not
it's just we have more hope for Genty and Hampton taking a leap and more concern about Barkley and Henry taking a step back. And so the rankings are different, but the projections wise, you're right.
Okay, and then we've got a few other running backs in this mix. We have Kenneth Walker, we have Jeremiah Love, and I think we'll have Josh Jacobs. You know, we either will or we won't. We're going to get some report at some point that tells us kind of what to do with Jacobs. But Jacobs would easily be in this mix if there were no concerns about any suspension. And let's talk about Walker, Love, Jacobs. How do you rank those three, Heath?
Well, so I haven't really changed the projections for Josh Jacobs yet. So projections-wise, he's ahead of Hampton and Genty. He's right behind Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, RB10. Rankings-wise, he's dead last of this group until we hear something. And so I would take, and Walker's significantly higher than Jeremiah Love. I'm lower than Jamie for sure on Kenneth Walker. I think I'm very close to Dave. He's my RB12, and he's right around the 2-3 turn, somewhere between pick 23 and 25. And Jeremiah Love is a late third round pick.
I'm basically in lockstep with Heath. I've got Walker as my RB12. I've got him at 22 overall.
Why not earlier? I mean, Jamie's got Walker as RB8. You know, this is Jamie, one of Jamie's favorite players. Everything from Chiefs camp has been really rosy with Kenneth Walker. They're building the offense. You know, they're going under center more to suit him. They're going to use him in the passing game. They obviously need a good running back. They're finally getting a good running back here. I think he could be fantastic. Dave, is there any hesitation? Like I said, Jamie's got him 8th and you have him 12th and Heath has him 12th in full PPR. Any hesitation with Ken Walker?
There's two big reasons for hesitation. And number one is the history of Kenneth Walker. And number two is the presence of Patrick Mahomes. And we know that Kenneth Walker has always had great potential and his talent is unquestionable, but he's always been more of a home run hitting type of running back and doesn't like to take the singles, and that he dances a little too much in the backfield, and that leads him getting hit more. And that means that he could obviously miss time. We've seen him miss time. And then last year, Seattle just said, well, the best way for him to not miss time is to split his workload. It sounds like Kansas City doesn't see it the same way. They want Kenneth Walker to be their bell cow and potentially working three downs, catching passes from Mahomes, and all this stuff sounds amazing in theory, especially the fact that Walker is going to be their goal line guy. Sounds amazing. If he can hold up, he's going to be one of the best running backs in fantasy. If he can't, or if even worse, he doesn't get hurt, but he's also inefficient, the Chiefs might have to go in another direction. And the Chiefs have that other direction, and they've been going in that other direction ever since 2018, and that's Patrick Mahomes. And as long as he's under center, I'm not convinced that they're suddenly going to become the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to run the ball 50% of their plays. And when they get in the goal in the red zone, it's all Ken Walker all the time. I think Mahomes is still the guy who leads this offense. I don't think that's a crazy statement. And I think that's going to cost some of Kenneth Walker's upside because Mahomes is who he is. Is Mahomes going to run less? Yes, he said as much. But I think he might throw more, and some of that could go to Walker, of course. But there's a bunch of other weapons in that offense that they seem to like a lot. And because of that, I can't get too excited about Walker. And that's why he's a late round two pick for me. And if other people want to take him in the top 15 or even the top 20, I understand why. I just don't want to take that risk when there are so many other really good players that I could take in those same spots.
And I don't, like, Dave and I are both projecting and ranking Walker to have the best season of his career. No, nobody here hates Ken Walker.
Yeah.
It's just, there's levels to how much higher than the best he's ever been do you want to project him. His best finish over a full season's RB18. He had one season on a per game basis where he finished much higher than that, because he had 5 targets per game.
Yeah, that was 2024. He was RB16 in non, 13 and a half, 12 in full PPR per game with 46 catches in 11 games. I would just point out that in 2023, on a per game basis, Isaiah Pacheco was like the number 15 running back. That was Pacheco.
Right.
And everybody hates Pacheco except for me. And that was, you know, they threw
630. And we all have Kenneth Walker ranked higher than that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know, but he only had 7 touchdowns that year. He played 14 games. But all right. I mean, it's possible for a running back to be good and for Mahomes to still throw 635 times in, well, it was the Chiefs in total, 635. It's a lot of throws.
And the other thing is, like, we're not talking about ranking Jeremiah Love ahead of him or Kyren Williams or Breece Hall. Like, the 11 names that we just said as guys that Dave and I would prefer at running back over Kenneth Walker are all elite, or we think they are about to make the leap to elite.
And I want to have one of those guys on my team, at least one of those guys on my team. You know, these are, and I haven't given this stat, I haven't had time, I think, but over the last 8 seasons, 61% of the running backs who finished top 12 in PPR, not per game, but overall, were drafted in rounds 1 and 2. 61% of running backs that finished top 12 in the last 8 years were drafted 1 and 2. 69% of the running backs who have finished top 6 were drafted in rounds 1 and 2. And in the last 2 years, you look at the 12 guys who have finished top 6 in the last 2 years, 11 of them were drafted in the first 2 rounds. And the only exception was James Cook, who was a 3rd round pick. So you want an elite running back, you better pay up for him. And by the way, how does that compare to wide receiver? It's a little bit higher. Every number I just gave you in terms of top 12 finishes and drafted in round 1 or 2, top 6 finishes drafted in round 1 or 2, a little bit higher at running back than it is at wide receiver. Actually, oddly enough, in the last 2 years, I said 11 of 12 running backs who finished top 6 were drafted in the first 2 rounds. Only 7 of the 12 wide receivers who finished top 6 were drafted in the first 2 rounds over the last 2 years. That's a little bit of a fluke, though. But I think my research suggests it is easier to find a like true breakout gem that's going to be awesome later in the draft at receiver than at running back. And running back,
I think it definitely has been recently.
Over the last 8 years and even more recently, you don't have to abide by that, but I think you should. I personally think you should have one running back on your team in the first two rounds or three at the latest. All right, let's take a break. Talk about Jeremiah Love and the round three guys. See if we can get maybe through round five today. These are the guys that deserve to be talked about the most. They are the most important decisions you're making. And we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. Some news items real quick. Bijan Robinson with the contract extension. Jahmyr Gibbs still holding in. Dave talked about that earlier in the show. Kyle Manangai has a soft tissue injury. It's early, but we don't like soft tissue injuries, but plenty of time to get healed up. Travion Henderson has struggled in pass protection in camp, according to Chad Graff of The Athletic. Yesterday, I called him the worst value in fantasy. I'm not quite backing off that. Maybe I was a little harsh, but I still think he's going too early, top 50 pick. Jacksonville running back Chris Rodriguez has been participating in team drills. He's super late ADP, though. What did I say? He's going 147th, Chris Rodriguez. Dan Duggan of The Athletic thinks the Giants could add a running back before the season starts. Meanwhile, SNY's Connor Hughes said that Cam Scadaboo is the clear top back for the Giants. We'll do some more news and notes like a little bit, maybe tomorrow or something. Devontae Smith and Mekhi Lemon have hamstring injuries. A couple of Chiefs wide receivers are banged up. A.J. Brown dislocated his thumb. But he's
Zay Flowers
was watching practice today. Yeah. All right, back to ADP. We'll go to round three here where we have Jeremiah Love. He's at the 2-3 turn. We have Josh Jacobs, Kyren Williams, Breece Hall, and Javonte Williams. We might have a little more at the end, but I don't think so. No, we don't. Okay. So we're at Jeremiah Love, Josh Jacobs, Kyren Williams, Breece Hall, Javonte Williams. I don't think we're going to talk about Jacobs so much as he's, you know, we already have talked about him.
He's being drafted in the wrong place.
Where should he be drafted?
Well,
we don't know.
let's put it this way. He was accused, or the story came out about the domestic violence in June. And we're in August. There's no formal charges. There's no talk of a suspension.
There's also no closed investigation.
That's true. And there's no time limit on that either. I mean, within this calendar year, at least. I'm thinking that there isn't going to be a... I don't think there's a problem here as far as his availability to the team. I think he'll be there. And so does that mean you should draft him with the expectation that he's playing 17 games? I kind of lean, yeah.
Yeah, right. These things take so long to play out through in court. So if they're going to wait,
I think it just depends on if there's some evidence that we've not seen that pops up and he's all of a sudden on the exempt list.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a very real possibility. And that can happen at any time. But again, it's been a month and a half since the news broke and nothing's come out yet.
Well, how do you feel about Marshawn Lloyd or anyone else?
Lloyd is my favorite, but who knows if he can stay healthy.
Or if he's any good.
And I think Chris Brooks is banged up too. Mm-hmm. Right. If any team, if there was ever a trade that needed to be made, it would be Matt LaFleur calling his brother Mike and saying, what do I have to give you for James Conner? Yeah. And then the Packers have that 1B. And that honestly would throw a big wrench into the plans for Josh Jacobs, because the Packers might feel like, hey, we've got James Conner now. Let's get him involved. All he's right. good too.
So that's a topic
fantasy
for another
land
show.
Talk though. That's not real fantasy football discussion.
So Jeremiah Love, Kyren Williams, Breece Hall, Javonte Williams. Dave, how do you rank them?
Jacobs is far and away the best of the group. I would have Javonte next and Kyren behind him, Jeremiah Love. And then I can name three other running backs I would take before Breece Hall.
All right. So if we remove Jacobs from this discussion, you're going Kyren. Javonte. No, you're going Javonte, Kyren.
Love. Jeremiah Love behind them.
Okay.
And then Breece later.
Heath?
Breece, Kyren, Love.
Breece Hall, Kyren, Love, and then Javonte?
Javonte is, as Dave said about Breece Hall, later.
Oh, interesting.
We've traded places on Javonte Williams.
Yeah, he's someone.
I think I've just stayed in the same place.
I mean, he is
maybe
he's only 26 years old. Javonte Williams, he was RB12 last year, both overall and per game. He is only going to get better at receiving, because last year he had one of the worst receiving seasons that I've ever seen.
Yeah, he might have literally been the worst.
Yeah,
well, he may not get better. He may just not do it as much.
But he's got a reputation of being great in pass protection. They have really pretty bad competition, it seems. And he's on the Cowboys. So it seems like a pretty damn good pick in round three. Heath, you're not as convinced?
And I'm always a little bit skeptical when a guy is, and part of it was a change in scenery, sure. But, I mean, he just had his career year. Had 13 touchdowns rushing in his career going into last year, scored 11 last year, was averaging right around 3.94 yards per carry for his career going into last year, averaged 4.8 last year. Now the receiving work was the one thing that went bad, but he still scored 2 touchdowns in that regard. I just think there's probably a little bit of regression, and I am concerned that as bad as he was in the passing game when they threw to him, that they just won't do that if CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and Jake Ferguson are all healthy.
Yeah, my personal opinion of watching, I think, all of his receptions last year was that he cannot make anyone miss. And I don't really think Javonte's that great of a rusher, so that's what gives me hesitation here. But I don't know how they really get away from him, Dave.
Because I don't think they necessarily love any other back. I know that there's talk about Jadon Blue, but he's very fast, but he's also very small, and I'm not sure how much work they're ready to put on Blue's plate. And what got Javonte to his numbers last year was volume. And throughout the entire year, you can split his year directly in half. His first 8 games, 18.5 touches per game. Second half of the year, 17.4 touches per game. So he's getting a lot of work in an offense that scores a lot of points. What's different this year is that when this team scores points, there might be more of it rushing because their defense, like I said about Cincinnati, it's a lot better. At least on paper it is. And if that's the case, then there's going to be more favorable game scripts for Javonte Williams. I just look at the opportunity that he's got. I still think he's going to see that 17-plus touch per game average. He's going to need to score a lot. And he did that in the first half of the year. Remember, I talked about splitting the year in half. First 8 games, 9 touchdowns. Second 8 games, 4 touchdowns. So he needs to be a consistent touchdown scorer all year long. And if he does that, he'll be right back over 15 PPR points like he was last year.
Heath, how are we feeling about Jeremiah Love? He's just a big question mark right now.
Another guy that may be just not drafted in the right place, but we don't know why. I like the talent a lot. I hate the situation a lot. And that pretty well qualifies it.
So you guys both like Kyren over Love, right? As I recall?
Yes.
Kyren Williams in the last 11 games of the year, that's when Blake Corum started getting going. Kyren Williams he was better in the formats where the catches don't count as much because he was only on pace for 28 catches. He averaged 14.7 PPR fantasy points per game. Based on what he averaged, he would have been RB10 per game in non, RB13 per game in half, RB14 per game in full PPR. This is Kyren Williams with Blake Corum. He's going RB15, so that's basically where he's going. Do you think it could get worse for him? Because it was not a 50-50 split last year. It was like 65-35 or 60-40 maybe. They've talked about closer split. I don't know. Could it get worse for Kyren Williams? Could he be worse than RB15? Like a lot worse.
I think what Dave said about Javonte and the defense being so much more improved and potentially having more rushing applies for me to Kyren. I think that they are probably going to run the ball more, and I think it's less likely that some of the stuff they did with Davante Adams inside the 5-yard line works as well this year as it did last year, because like that was a pretty big outlier season. I don't know how you get the split closer, because what they were basically doing was every other series, but Kyren always gets the first series, so he often gets one more series than Corum. And then passing downs, they don't want to use Blake Corum, so they bring Kyren in for the surefire passing downs. And then if Corum fails inside the 5-yard line, they bring in Kyren to clean that up. I have a hard time seeing which of those things is going to change. So yeah, he could be worse. He could have a season, the first in 3 years, where he just doesn't score double-digit touchdowns, and that would be bad. But it seems like a pretty safe round 3 pick as a pretty safe high-end RB2.
Okay. Oh, so who else is it? I think we covered Breece Hall yesterday. We got Javonte. Let's go to round four then. Is there a big difference in your opinion between Jeremiah Love, Kyren Williams, Breece Hall, Javonte Williams? Again, Josh Jacobs is in his own category. Compared to the running backs in round four, Travis Etienne, Cam Scadaboo, Bucky Irving, and Quinshon Judkins.
You're missing a name that should be in that group, at least one, I would say. DeAndre Swift.
Okay, where is... did I just skip over him?
I don't know if... I'm not saying you messed up. I'm saying he's in round five. Belongs in that group too. So I'm going to love Swift when we get to round five, I guess.
Yes.
I think the big difference between Scadaboo, Judkins, and the guys in round three is the concern about health.
Okay, right. It's ETN or Achan, Scadaboo...
I don't like Achan Irving there at Judkins. All.
What's that?
I don't like Achan there either, but we talked about that.
Yeah, we do. But
it's really confusing when we start the show talking about how much I love Achan, and I'm the high guy on Achan, and now 54 minutes in, I'm the low guy on Achan because it's a different Achan.
Everything that we didn't like, that we don't like about Travis Achan this year existed for him last year. And like he didn't play on third down. He was sharing a backfield, I think more so last year than he will this year, even though Tootin didn't really do that much.
And he was on a lot better offense.
They were a top 10 offense. I think people were optimistic about the Saints offensively. He also had 6 receiving touchdowns last year, which certainly helped for ETN. That's not going to happen again. But all right, you're right. We did talk about him yesterday. So how do you guys feel about Cam Scadaboo in round four?
I like it.
Yeah.
I might even dabble with Scadaboo in late round three, just with everything that you're hearing out of New York. He's leading the running back group in every drill. It looks like he's the lead back. They want to run the football a lot. That fullback that we talked about that's missing in Baltimore, well, he's now in New York with the Giants, who improved their offensive line. And this is a team whose defense has improved a little bit too. So as long as he's got the injury argument, and after that, I'm not sure what else there is to not like about Cam Scadaboo. So I'm digging Scadaboo quite a bit with the intention of also drafting Tyrone Tracy earlier than ADP just to lock up the Giants backfield.
How do you feel about Bucky Irving and Quinshon Judkins in round four of a 12-team league?
Different. Differently about that compared to Scadaboo and individually too.
I think Judkins is right where he belongs, and that's about a round and a half earlier than I would draft Bucky.
I'm with you all the way.
If I could make a quick case for Bucky.
Yeah, please do.
Lead running back down the stretch of 2024 when he really broke out, and they just stopped using Rashad White. Lead running back in the first four games of 2025. He was only averaging 3.3 yards per carry, but he was on pace for 302 carries and 81 catches. And by the way, did not have a single catch on third down. He had 19 catches in four games to start the year, all of them on first and second down. He did not have a target on third down in those games. He did have a 25% route participation rate on third down. So my point is, he was involved in the passing game, and he is awesome, awesome in the passing game. So they should throw the ball to him on first and second down. He had foot and shoulder injuries in week four. He missed the next 7 games. When he came back, he was not playing. This is Bucky Irving I'm talking about. Bucky was not playing his normal snap share. He did lose goal line carries to Sean Tucker. But they have shown at the end of 2024 and the beginning of 2025 that this guy is, no doubt about it, our guy, and we're going to give him so many touches. And even in the last 7 games, when he did come back, he was on pace. Oh, sorry, it was 6 games. He was on pace for 289 carries.
Wow, that'd be a record.
289 catches. We've got him misranked.
289 carries and 31 catches. And that was, no goal line role. I get that. That was with Rashad White playing on third down. So he's still their guy. I don't want him in round four. He's a little early for me. But mid round five, I think, is still really good for Bucky Irving. Or good for Bucky Irving.
I think it's okay for Bucky Irving. It's really hard to get behind a running back that has an uphill fight for 8 touchdowns.
I'm not so sure that they just bring him off the field every single time and give it to Sean Tucker. You know,
that's what they did last year.
That's what they did at the end of last year. That is true. Sean Tucker, so by
the way, in the beginning of last year, too. Yeah, he literally
did not have a carry inside the five.
But neither did Sean Tucker. Sean Tucker had two carries in the first four games of the year. Two carries. And then Bucky Irving got hurt.
And then
Sean Tucker
came back.
Sean Tucker was the goal line guy when he came back. I get that. I think it's possible. If Bucky Irving starts running well, this is what I would say. If Bucky Irving starts the year at Cincinnati, Cleveland, Minnesota, Green Bay, I hate the schedule. But if he starts the year running well, I think he could smash his ADP.
He did that last year.
No, he didn't. He averaged 3.3 yards per carry.
He averaged 18 PPR points per game
in his first four games. What I'm saying is if he comes out and he runs the ball well, then they're just going to be like...
You're saying his efficiency spikes.
His efficiency spikes. Then they'll be like, look, just stay in at the goal line. Just score some touchdowns. Maybe they mix Tucker in. We're talking about around five pick. All right, that's my case for Bucky. Yeah,
I mean, that's where I have him, but I do... I mean, you guys know how much I'm not in on Breece Hall, and I'm taking Breece Hall out of Bucky Irving.
Judkins, we discussed on yesterday's show. So we'll finish off with round five. Travion Henderson in round five, David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift, Bajal Touton. Travion, Montgomery, Swift, and Touton. And I don't know. Like, I guess one of the reasons I don't love the value for Henderson is like Montgomery, Swift, and Touton are all clearly better picks to me. And I think you guys are going to agree with at least two of them. But Heath, how do you make sense of those four guys, Henderson, Montgomery, Swift, and Touton in round five?
I was just looking up to see if Rashad White had carries inside the five the first 4 weeks of the season. He did. I love DeAndre Swift in this range. I am warming to Touton, but he's still in round six for me. Henderson's in round six for me. Who else is in round five between those three?
David Montgomery.
And Montgomery's in round six for me. So I just did my do not draft list. And the running backs or the rounds, I did one player for each round that I'm not drafting in that round. And rounds three through five were all running backs. And we've talked about all of them in the last little bit.
Yeah.
But I think DeAndre, if you can get DeAndre Swift in round five, that opens up a whole world of possibilities. And can you even imagine... if this soft tissue issue for soft tissue issue, that'd be a fantastic team name, I think, for Kyle Manongai lasts into the season and how good DeAndre Swift could be.
Yep. All right. That's a great point. Dave, again, the running backs are Travion Henderson, David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift, and Bajal Touton in round five.
Like a ballerina that ate a bowl of refried beans, I'm Swift Touton. that's who I like in round five. Montgomery used to be in that range. I had a great talk with Chris Harris on his podcast. We do this exercise every year about things that could happen in training camp outside of injuries that would affect our rankings. And one of the concepts I came up with was Houston's offensive line just doesn't get any better. And I've been keeping up with the reports in Houston, and it doesn't sound like the offensive line is getting particularly better. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt of having joint practices against other teams and having the first team unit getting in a preseason game and seeing how they hold up. But if that offensive line can't create space for Montgomery, it's going to hurt his efficiency. That's a problem for him as a 28-year-old running back, especially if we're counting on him to score a lot of touchdowns and to have a Joe Mixon type year. A month ago, I was thinking that there was a chance that he could have a Joe Mixon type year. And now if that offensive line doesn't take the step forward that I thought maybe it could, then I get a little bit nervous. So I think Montgomery is kind of on the other side of that round five range now, and he's better off as an early round six pick, but certainly one of those running backs where if he's not scoring touchdowns, you're going to struggle. You're going to miss out on some big fantasy points. And the upside is there for Swift. It always has been. Even though last year I was not big on Swift, Heath knows that. But with Touton, how do you deny it? At this point, he's talking about crazy high goals. I don't think he'll reach the goals he has. But the Jaguars need somebody that can be a plus in efficiency as a runner, and he's going to get a lot of opportunities early on to be that guy. And I'll take the chance on him late round five as my RB2, or maybe if I'm really feeling saucy, and around an RB3 for my team. And he's definitely got potential to put up huge numbers this year in a very high-powered offense.
Yeah, what I like about Touton and why I think he's a good pick here, and I'll get Heath's word on this as well, is let's look at who's going behind him. There aren't that many running backs after Bajal Touton, who is RB 25 in ADP, that without an injury, you know, could just take the job and run with it and be great, right? And there're probably some, but anyone could be great with an injury. But Bajal Touton, after that, it's Jadarian Price, who's in a similar situation. Jaylen Warren, they have really never shown that they want to give him a full workload. And maybe the one time they did was early last year, and he got hurt, Jaylen Warren. Tony Pollard, yeah. RJ Harvey, no. Chuba Hubbard, we don't really think so because of Brooks. Rico Dowdle, we'll get to him tomorrow. Ramondre Stevenson, no. J.K. Dobbins, kind of.
Yes. I think Dobbins, as long as he stays healthy, and he's already promised us he's going to stay healthy all year. And the other name I would say, because I don't know how long it will take for you to get to him, is Bill, who I think is very similar to Bajal Touton.
And Jordan Mason's another guy that right, I mentioned him at the top of
now
the show.
I think that the really interesting thing with both Touton and Bill is that even the coaches, but especially us, aren't really going to find out which deficiencies they patched in the offseason. They're going to see some things in camp, but until we're seeing them in game action, they've talked about they want Bill to be more involved in the passing game. He was the lead back when they started team stuff. He's currently their lead running back. It's how much can he stay on the field? How much can Touton stay on the field?
Yeah, right. There are some good opportunities here late in the draft, but
if there's a difference between the two, I think the coaches in Washington have made up their mind on how much Merrick can stay on the field with Rashad White on the team, and White easy fit in passing downs. And I don't the guy that would do the pass protection work in Jacksonville is definitely LaQuint Allen. Whether or not he's actually going to be their third down back, no matter what the down or distance, that remains to be seen.
Okay, so that's more or less going to wrap it up. I want to end with a little comparison here. This is always fun when I add a Word document to the show.
Yes.
This is, let's see. Let's just compare. Sorry, my mouse is getting in the way. The Chicago running backs and the Rams running backs the last 11 games of the year. And you can see...
Oh, you love doing this. We did this during the offseason.
Yeah, you can see how similar DeAndre Swift and Kyren Williams were. And by the way... One of the games, DeAndre Swift missed, and Kyle Monongai had a big game. So I took that Week 9 game out. But the last 11 games, DeAndre Swift was on pace for 237 carries. He averaged 5.2 yards per carry. Kyren Williams, 250, basically one more carry per game, and 5.1 yards per carry. They were both on pace for 11 or 12 touchdowns. They were both on pace for 28 or 29 catches. About one more fantasy point per game, 0.8 more PPR fantasy points per game for Kyren Williams because he had that extra touchdown. The Rams.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
This is why I have Kyren Williams in round three and DeAndre Swift in round four.
Yeah. And Blake Corum was on pace for 179 carries, Monongai 187. So basically the difference is just a little bit more of a split for Monongai. Obviously, we don't know how it's going to play out this year. But I will mention the Rams were number one in running back rush attempts per game in those 11 games. So I don't know that they're going to run the ball more than they did in that stretch, 26.3 running back carries per game. And Kyren and Corum split goal line carries exactly evenly. 8 carries at the goal line, which I consider the 1 to 3 yard line for each of them. I don't have that split for the Bears, I'm sorry, but I do remember it being sort of whoever's drive it was, basically. They didn't have a goal line back. They probably split them fairly evenly as well. But, you know, two great offenses that run a lot of plays, that will run the ball a lot and make the most of these splits, and that means Corum and Monongai could be nice values as well. All right, we'll get to them tomorrow. Running back preview part 3. We'll do running back preview parts 4 and 5 on Thursday and Friday. We'll do a full week of wide receiver previews. No, I'm just kidding. We'll wrap up running backs tomorrow. Dave and Heath, thank you very much. Good stuff. Until tomorrow, I'm Adam. This is Fantasy Football Today. See ya.
Podcasts. Hello, and welcome to Plutophone. If you knew the name of the movie you'd like to see, The Matrix, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, or Mean Girls.
That is so fetch.
Just stream it for free on Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.